this one.
Okay.
On the bottom of Memvav on my base.
Memvav on my base.
Sover Reb Yochanan Meimar es Betzer Bamidbar. You got the wrong volume? He took volume one instead of volume two. Shabbos is so far behind. So our gears on the English side is different than the Hebrew side. The English side says Sover Reb Shimon ben Lakish Meimar es Betzer Bamidbar. Okay, so whatever it is. Whoever it was, the Talmud or the Rav, I don't know. So what's Betzer Bamidbar? So the English, the bottom says that, 16, let's see. Betzer was part of the area of Transjordan, first conquered by Sihon, and then conquered by Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, just to review the history in the Chumash, the Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that he cannot bother Amon Amoyev. But Sihon conquered some of those areas, not all the areas, but some of the areas. And once he conquered those areas, they became available for Moshe to move in. Now, Betzer was part of that area. That was Sichon 1, Moshe 2, given to Reuven. Rish Lakish was under the impression that Beitzra, which is in Moab, is the same as Betzer, which is in the vicinity of Ammon and Moab. So that's what it says here from the Maror folder. Now,
It says Betzer by Midbar.
Yeah.
Was in the
yeah, so that's exactly the whole discussion over here. So now I sent out some maps to those of you who have, WhatsApp.
Okay.
If you don't have WhatsApp or you're not on the WhatsApp group, you won't see the map. But just if you go take a look at it real quick, those who have it, let me just see if I can see it. Yeah, the first map that I sent out, you will see that there's a place called Butzra, which on the map, this is on the Atlas Das Mikra on page 285, it's Butzra's all the way in the south of Eretz Yisrael. It's really far south. It doesn't match any of this, what this Gemara is talking about at all. Betzer, in this Gemara, seems to be a town much further north. So I don't know what to do about that. But whatever. I wouldn't get too hung up about exactly where it is located. Because if you do, you're going to really go nuts. So, Shaul or Rabbi Yochanan, so Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Betzer la Beitzra. So he told him they're not the same. Betzer is actually outside of Eretz Yisrael. All right, so.
The Torah tells you that Betzer was in the Midbar.
Es Betzer by Midbar, Eretz HaMishar, or Uveini, Betzer almost by Gilav HaGadi, Betzer almost by Gilav HaGadi. Okay, fine. There obviously are two places that were located at the time. Bnei Moshe says, Betzer Luchud, Betzer Luchud, Shehi Michutz La'aretz. So, which one is which? Which one is which?
I understand. Wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu not going into Eretz Yisrael?
Let's hold that question. We asked that yesterday, that question, and I'm going to get to the actual answer, what I think the answer is to that question, at the end of today. It took us an hour and a half.
No, you said that last night already. Can't wait till the end.
No. Wait till the end. Today we're going to answer that question.
Okay.
So let's just go on now. Let's go. Okay, next. One mem zayin amar alef. Reb Yitzchak bar Nachman. So he repeated over the same question. Rish Lakish asked Reb Chanina, Hakoina me Amon Umoyev. Let's suppose somebody buys a piece of land in that area. Mao, what's the rule? Do you have to keep Shvius and Mises or not? Amaleka, Shasi Kumi Reb Yasa. So he asked that question in the presence of Reb Yasa. Les Amon Umoyev de Moshe? Weren't those areas conquered by Moshe? And Moshe conquered those areas. So I'm going to move a part of Eretz Yisrael, the subject of the laws of Shvius and Maaseres. How could Rish Lakish have even had any doubts about this? That was the way he explains the question. Then he goes on to another expanded version of the comment. And look, this is a little more detailed. I mentioned the question of Rish Lakish in the presence of Reb Chagai. Les Amon and Moyev de Moshe, aren't they certainly parts of Eretz Yisrael? I'm sorry. Less Amon Umov to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, this mention of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is a Mishnah in Yadayim. In Yodayim, there is, the way the Yad Avram explains that Mishnah Yodayim, which I looked up today, he says a very, I didn't do the whole Mishnah, it's actually quite a large Mishnah. But just to give you the highlights of the beginning of the Mishnah, that Mishnah says that there's a part there, like I just mentioned, there's a part of Amon and Moab that was conquered by Sihon, and then that was subsequently conquered by Moshe. That part is definitely Eretz Yisrael. The question is, what about the parts of Amon and Moab that were not conquered by Moshe Rabbeinu? That's a machlokes, the Tanakhama over there, and Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Meaning, I forgot to mention one other thing. There's an added special, it's talking about over there in Yodayim, the Mishnah is talking about if it's the year of Shvius, right? If it's the year of Shvius, what kind of Maisers do they give? Do they give Maiser Sheni or do they give Maiser Oni? Now, like this. Normally in a normal Shemitah cycle, you know, 2-1, 2-1, it's every third year is Maiser Oni, the other 4 years are Maiser Sheni. And the year of the seventh year is going to be Shemitah. There's obviously no Maisers because everything's after. But let's suppose you're in this Amon and Moav area, which was not conquered by Moshe. And therefore, there's no Din Shvius over there. So there's a special Din Drabbanon where they were Mesaking a Maiser in the Shemitah year. And the question was, and this is the Machlokes Tanoim over there, what kind of Maiser is it? Is it Maiser Sheni? Is it Maiser Oni? Okay, so when we say, one second. So this, when the Gemara says, Les Amon Umayyav, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's a reference to that Amon Umayyav section that's mentioned in that Mishnah in Yodayim, which is a way of distinguishing the Amon Umayyav part that we're discussing here. Okay, so the first part where he says, Kashisikam Kaget Rabkaget, Les Amon Umayyav the Moshe, isn't Amon Umayyav conquered by Moshe? That's the Sichon part of Amon Umayyav that Moshe conquered. And then, Less Amon Umayyav, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and if we're not talking about what Moshe conquered from Sichon, but the other part of Amon Umayyav, which is the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah part of it, so then that's certainly outside Eretz Yisrael and certainly not subject to Shvius. So again, so this is an expansion of questions on what Rish Lakish was bothered to begin with. What are you asking, Rabbi Yochanan? It should have been Pasha to you. A kind of saw that Amon Umayyav, it's either this part that was conquered by Moshe, which is Chayav and Shvius for sure, or the part that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Mishnah, where for sure you should not be Chayav and Shvius. So what was bothering Rish Lakish? That's the Kasha of the Gemara. So this took a long time for us to figure out, but that's the upshot of it. All right. I think I said it right. If I said it wrong, I apologize. So look at the more vital. Amar Biosi Rabon Siv Ki Cheshbon Ir Sichon Melech Emori Hi. So what is that telling me? So he's trying to answer the question. So that's what was bothering Reb Shimon. Let's see. It was necessary for Reb Shimon Lakish to clarify the following point concerning this pasuk. The Torah forbade the Jewish people from conquering the lands of Amon and Moab. We know Sichon conquered parts of Amon and Moab for himself. And Moshe then was even commanded to engage Sichon in battle. Okay, so here, now the Gemara is going to explain the question. I'm sorry, I have to read a little further. Toha Romiyad Sichon? I loitaro. When Sichon conquered those areas away from Amon and Moab, so was he metaharit? Meaning, did he create an area which Moshe could subsequently conquer and add to Eretz Yisrael? Because now it's tar; it's no longer Amon and Moab at all. Whether it was being Isser to be conquering it.
And the use of tar as in contrast to Tommy.
It's Tara means it becomes.
It is
a difference of Tumah because if it's Chutz Laaretz, then you have a Tumas Eretz Ha'amamin. If it's Eretz Yisrael, then you don't have that Tumah. So I think Tara is a very good language to use. I think so. So in Tamar Tara, if you say it became Tahar, meaning it was Moshe one.
Meaning Cheshbon the city.
Cheshbon, correct. You're right. Oh, so if he was matar chayeves, then it's subject to shvias and maesers. In tamer loy tahara, if it's not, then petura, then it'll be exempt. That was the question of Rish Lakish. Okay. So this is the yesod he brings over here, in number 13, very important yesod over here. Look at 13. This is, I think, like the key to the question. I'm going to read it inside. Although this land does not fall within the boundaries defined by the Torah, it is similar to Surya, which was a foreign land annexed to Eretz Yisrael. Surya, as we all know, was a kibush yachad of David HaMelech because he conquered it before he finished conquering Eretz Yisrael. That's what we say. That's why it's called kibush yachad. Although Sichon's land was conquered by the entire Jewish people and at God's direction, nevertheless, this is what he says over here, Aknech, it was conquered before Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So therefore, it became sanctified only in regard to mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. He brings this from Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Sorotzkin, Torah Hashvias. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is. This is a tremendous yesod, what he's saying over here. In other words, the same way there's a concept of kibush yochid by David HaMelech by Surya, because it was done before Gan Eretz Yisrael was conquered.
Before they had Eretz Yisrael, they had mitzvahs, but they didn't have the land.
So the same, even though this is not a yochid who's conquering it, it's not David HaMelech singularly conquering it, it's Gan Yisrael conquering it. But nevertheless, we're going to give it a different din than the rest of Eretz Yisrael because it was conquered before Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So that's the point here. So what we have here is, and this is what I think the chiddush of this footnote is to me. This is the answer to the question that you asked, Chaim. What the Gemara is basically saying here is, even if Moshe Rabbeinu did get into those lands, which he no doubt did because he was involved with Reuben and Gad and Constantine Menashe. So I'm assuming that he walked into those areas because they're calling it Kibush of Moshe. I'm assuming he got to those lands. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was not satisfied with that because that's not Kedushas Haaretz the way he wanted the full Kedushas Haaretz Yisrael. All he got was that level of Kedusha, which is whatever, I don't know what it's called. It's Tara in a sense. And it has the chiyuvim of the Mrs. Haaretz, Mrs. Hatluyas Haaretz, but there's something about it that gives it a certain level less than the full Kedushas Haaretz Yisrael.
Is that Midrabanan or Midrabanan?
All right. Fact is that he's comparing it to Surya. So yeah. Surya is for sure the Rabbanan.
Yeah, that's fine.
So are we going to say that Mayav and that all the whole area that Moshe Rabbeinu conquered over there is only Chayav and Mitzvahs Drabanan? I don't know.
Only that little area that was not conquered by Sichon. Sichon conquered most of Ammon and Moab.
So what is this?
This is talking about the area outside of that.
Hold on a second. No. We're talking about Sichon here. We're discussing the Sichon area, right?
Cheshbon
was the capital of the city.
Cheshbon, Ir
Sichon.
Ir
Sichon, Melchon, Marihi. That's what we're asking.
But there was plenty of other.
So is this question only for that city and nothing else?
No. The whole area conquered from Moab.
I'm just saying the introductory remark here in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Rabon, Ksiv Ki Cheshbon, Ir Sichon, Melchon, Marihi. Is that just being an introductory remark to tell me what area we're talking about, but we don't just mean Ir Sichon?
Correct.
So if we're talking about the area that was conquered by Moshe, that was conquered by Moshe after Sichon conquered it.
Yes.
So that's the stage. It's Sichon, it's Ammon and Moab, Sichon, Moshe. So and that whole area, that's what footnote 13 is referring to.
Yes.
That's what we're just talking about. That whole area was a kibush of Gan Klal Yisrael prior to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Okay?
Right.
So that's his question. Was it Tara or was it Lo Tara? So that was Rish Lakish's question. When you buy a Sodeh, in that area, was it Tahara or was it not Tahara? That seems to be the question. The above applies to Sihon's land, which comprised parts of what was formerly Amnomayev, was never set aside for the Jewish people earlier. However, in regard to the part of Transjordan that was Og's land, the Torah states, according to Rashi's explanation, that this was the land of Rephaim promised to Avraham. So that could be that that's a little different. Og's land is a little different. Okay. Okay. Next. Okay, Chaim, do you hear the tarots? What I'm telling child, what I'm trying to tell you, if you're listening. Armor up,
Tom. Yes, I just was on mute. That's all.
Yeah, I understand. I just want to make sure you're on board with my answer as to what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted.
I don't love it, but it's okay.
Yeah, I don't love it either. Armor up, Tanhuma. There's another, by the way. If you got my maps, I just want to reference this map one more time. If you go to the map, just 1 second. The third map that I sent you on page 127, it has a picture of Har Nevo, Mul Beis Pa'ar over there. I don't know how they know exactly where it is, but that is like right on the edge of Arvos Mayav, if you look over there, of the border. So it could be that he didn't actually walk in there. That's a possibility. I'm not sure about
too
that.
Too close to the edge.
Maybe he could see it, but he couldn't...
Maybe he could see it, but he actually wasn't there. I don't know. This I don't know. I can't tell you for sure one way or the other. Okay, next. I'm Rav Tamkumo. Hochel the Reshes Asartso. So it says the word Hochel. This is a pasuk where in Dvarim 2. Let's see, does he have it written over here?
Yes.
Yeah, on the side it says the Yom Hashem Eli Reach Hilosi Teslufanecha Sichon Asartso Hochel Rush the Reshes Asartso. So Hashem's talking to Moshe, telling him, I have begun to give you Sichon and his land. Hochel. Hochel, to begin, Hochel to begin, Hatzkiel, right? But the Gemara is dashing in Hochel from Lashon Chulin, Asisi Esatzo Chulin Lefanecha. I've made it unrestricted, the way he translated here. His translation is, I've made it unrestricted before you. It's free from any association with Amon Amayev. The way he's translating it, this is actual Lashon, that it was Torah, and therefore you can take it over. You could touch up the Gemara differently the way he's doing it. And it could be, Hochel, I made a chulin that I took away the Kedusha.
And then it's Pater.
And then it's Pater. So right. Apparently there's two approaches to how to learn this Yerushalmi. He says, this is the explanation we're saying, that it's ready, is apparently a Ramban in Shavuos, Kesef Mishnah. But according to, however, Rash Cirilio, Pnei Moshe and Groh explain the Gemara's conclusion the opposite way. So there you have two ways to explain the Gemara. Okay. Rav Huna Boi, so he wanted, this boy means he wanted to, he wasn't asking a question, he wanted to permit Mishrei, he wanted to permit Hohon Yavloina. There's a place called Yavloina. He wanted to be moderate as far as Shrinas and Mises go. Now, where was Yavloina? Let's see. I don't know where it was. It's some place, and he wanted to say that it was part of Chutz La'aretz. Also, look out, so Rav Huna came to Ramana Malay. So Rav Huna said to him, "Hola Chasson." So he wants him to sign. It's like, you know, a kol kare. Have you heard those? So he wants him to sign on the dotted line that he agrees with me that this is Chutz La'aretz. So Lord Kabbalah missed him. He did not agree. And so Ramana refused to sign. Lamacha the next day, coming by Ruchi Bar Madya met Ramana. He stood with him. Umlay, he said, Ruchi Bar Madya told him, you did a good thing not to sign. Rabbiuna, your father used to say, Antoninus, Yahav Larebi, train Alfin Shnin Barisim. That Antoninus gave Rebbe 2,000 years rights to as a sharecropper agreement, meaning that he didn't give it to him as a matona. He retained ownership of the land, but he gave Rebbe a right to work the land. So Lefichah, so therefore, and this
Yavlina was part of it.
Yeah, I guess Yavlina was part of it. Or he gave Yavlina, maybe he's talking about Yavlina, whatever it is. It says over here,
again, it will depend on what you said before about the Maflekas, about how to...
Yeah. So, here, this is what he says down here. First of all, just to say it again, Antoninus is the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. Okay, let's leave that alone. He said that many times. So, he apparently was very friendly with Rebbe.
He was.
And he did not structure this land transfer as an outright gift, which he's going to say later because it could be for political reasons he couldn't do that. But he retained ownership of the land itself. Rebbe and his descendants would have the right for millennia to plant and harvest the fields of Yavlona for themselves. Now, although it was originally Chutz La'aretz, once this right passed to Rebbe and his descendants, then Yavlona was considered to be privately annexed piece of Eretz Yisrael, similar to Suya, which was a Kibbutz Yahar. However, Yavlina is treated somewhat more leniently because it remained the property of non-Jews. In other words, they owned the Gufar Karka. So therefore, Lefichach Nachal, therefore you can eat Peiris there after the Zaman HaBir, but you can't do work. So it's got this quasi-ruling. You have to be makbid on Shvias, but you don't have to be makbid on the Zaman HaBir. And Pater Ben HaMaisers, and it's even more kulodik than Surya, that you don't even have to give Maisers over there, Midrabanon. And they see Kistais Gayim, because it was owned by Antoninus's prodigy. So he says over here that the question remains, why did Antoninus structure this as a 2,000-year-long sharecropping agreement? Ali Tamar cites an Aharon who suggests there was a Roman decree forbidding the transfer of real estate to Jews forever. So the only way he could effectively give them the land was a sharecropper for an immense number of years. So then he brings from the Gra, we can see it in the Hebrew if you want, Alfin Shnin, he says, Tar Seifer, Tar Leimer, Shnin,
because it says Dishnin, and the Pnei Moshe says that Dishnin means 2,000 areas which were Dushain.
Oh, really?
So he's saying that, therefore, don't say Dishnin, say Alfe Shnin, that you're saying, like
2,000 years instead of
2,000 areas which are fat. Yeah, exactly.
And he says, Pirish Loilam, and which means, it actually means forever. Doesn't mean actually 2,000 years. So he's an oris, and therefore he can't do avodah there. Like Surya with Patrim and Amisus, because the son is Shadgai, that's what the Gemara says. Okay, so that's what he says, that's what the Gemara says about Yavlina. Interesting discussion of Yavlina. Okay, now we're going on to Memzayin Omid Beis. Let's see here. So it says, right? What?
Oh, sorry.
Ravuna Amar, Keni Masisa, Mikziva Nahar, Mikziva Ad Amona. That what? The Mishnah says, Mikziva Ad Anahar, that means there's a narrow strip along the Mediterranean coast from Kziv until Nahal Mitzrayim, which is in the southwest of Eretz Yisrael, and Mekziv Ad Amona, and then from Kziv until the Amona in the north. So that's the borderline of the area, which was had Kibush Ilei Baba, right? I think that's the Ele Mitzrayim.
Kziv was where?
Kziv is in the map. You see the little map here that they have on the bottom here?
I don't see it.
No, that's not here. No. Sorry. That's not the map. That's our map later on. Sorry. We had the map. We mentioned this map earlier. If you want to see it. Is it here? Yeah, it's the second map in Appendix 1. You'll see in the back there, there's a picture of Kaziv. Okay? It's all the way up north of Akko. North of Haifa, north of Akko, there's a little...
Northwest.
Northwest, it says Kaziv over there on the side there.
Yeah, I thought it said it was down to the Nachal Mitzrayim.
So you draw a line from Kaziv till Nachal Mitzrayim. That's all the way to the south.
That's going through Akko and all...
Yeah, yeah, you go right through, go through, right through there, and then you draw another line from there all the way north to... Talamana, which is in the north, right? And the big Shiloh, what Amana is,
yes.
It could be as much as 200 miles north. It could be all the way up near, almost near Turkey. It's a big Shiloh. There's a whole discussion in the back there exactly where Amana is. Yeah. Okay. The end of the mission defines Amana as the Amana Mountains, northern border between inside and outside of Israel. Now, this is going to be a brisa that defines it a little bit more precisely. Tani, Ezuhi Ha'aretz. Which part of the Amana Mountains is within the boundaries of the land of Eretz Yisrael? Ezuhi Chutz La'aretz. Which part of the mountains is Chutz La'aretz? So it says very simple. Choshu Shafim, between Amana and Eretz Yisrael. If it's on the slope of the mountain down towards Eretz Yisrael, to the south, that's Eretz Yisrael. Between Amana and Chutz La'aretz. And from the northern slope, then it's going to be outside Eretz Yisrael. So that means that the northern border of Eretz Yisrael runs through the peak of the Amana Mountains, right? So you would just draw an imaginary line over the tops of the Amana Mountains, and everything south of that is Eretz Yisrael, everything north of that is Chutz La'aretz. That's the brisa. Now, how far does Eretz Yisrael extend westward? This is going to be an interesting Gemara. Hanisim Shabayam. The islands in the Mediterranean Sea, at Raya Isan, you look at them. Kilu chut masuach miturei Amana and Nachal Mitzrayim. So what you do is you run an imaginary line through from the top of the mountains till Nachal Mitzrayim. So, and that goes actually through the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? And that's the map on the bottom left. He's got a line, that gray area. The dark
east
gray.
Of the line.
So anything east of the line is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Any islands found within that line will be Eretz Yisrael. Anything outside is Chutz La'aretz. That's one shita. And now there's a dissenting view. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shu Keneged Eretz Yisrael. You go and you have that same line. Actually, not the line. The line is not significant anymore. But whatever is opposite the land of Eretz Yisrael, going west, Harayok of Eretz Yisrael. As a western border, the great sea shall be for you as a border, and it shall be for you the western border. So he says, this redundant term, and a border, right? So he says that teaches us Eretz Yisrael extends westward as far as the Atlantic Ocean. Unbelievable.
Imagine. That would include southern France.
Southern France and Spain, maybe.
Right.
Imagine if we were to come. Imagine if we would go forward with a claim that we own those lands. That would go over real well. Shabbat Stodim.
No, we just have to claim that they're settlers.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And it's fine.
That's it.
Then we can just kill them.
Shabbat Stodim Mehen. And regarding the Mediterraneans at their islands at their size, the north and south of Eretz Yisrael's coastline, and Rayosan Kilochut Masuach, and Kaparia, and Elkinas. You go through a cord stretch through them from Klaparia, the west of the Atlantic Ocean. So again, you're making this imaginary line. So everything within the line is Eretz Yisrael. Everything outside the line is going to be Chutz La'aretz, and that's going to be that map on the bottom right there. You'll see all the dark area of the Mediterranean Sea is all that shaded area is all Eretz Yisrael according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Finally, the Gemara ends today's daf with a little dagarta. Amar Rabbi Yusta bar Shunei, because Shiagiu Hagolias and Turi Amana, when the Golias are coming back to Eretz Yisrael and then we reach the mountains of Amana, in Asidus Loma Shira, they're going to start saying Shira. Matam Bashuri Me Rosh Amana, which is a positive, I think, in Shira Shira, right? Yeah, Shira Shira. So he suggests they will wait to sing until they're just inside the border of Eretz Yisrael. At that point, the redemption will have already begun. A foreign land will not be an appropriate venue, for their joyful rhapsody. Okay, however, Rashi to this pasuk says they will sing when they are inside of Eretz Yisrael, close to its air, yet outside the border.
But also it works very well with the pshat, because that means that when you're at the peak of the Rosh Hashanah, you can see the rest of Eretz Yisrael.
You can see it.
Tashuri, Rosh Hashanah.
Very good, very good, Tashuri. Very good. So that's if you're climbing, that sounds like you're walking back to Eretz Yisrael. I thought we were flying in. I thought we were flying in by plane, and we weren't going to be walking in.
But I saw a Shem HaKaf in Shoren.
Yes. Fly the flying skies.
Motorized
he may race to Rim.